Graduate Sunday, graduate day. I found this in a little newspaper yesterday. It said, title of it, School Grades. It says, a little boy wasn't getting good grades in school. One day he surprised the teacher by tapping her on the shoulder, saying, I don't want to scare you, but my daddy says if I don't get better grades, somebody's going to get a spanking. That's a smart little boy, wasn't it? Maybe smart as one of these boys. This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Begin reading in verse 1. I want to talk to you today. A message entitled, I call it, The Battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damon between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his legs. He wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And then I want one other verse. I'll read to you the key verse. Verse 30, 47. It says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. So on 9/11, all of you, most of you remember that day. Those of you old enough, a day of infamy, what President Roosevelt said about the bombing of Pearl Harbor, 1941. 9/11 was a day of infamy. I had one of my oldest brother-in-laws, he was my seventh grade teacher when I was growing up. He was a teacher, my first coach, junior high coach. He called me from St. Louis, Missouri. I was the pastor at the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I preached most time on Sunday to colonels and generals and a lot of PhDs and a lot of learning. And Roger wrote me, though. He called me. He said, today this Sunday will be the hardest sermon you ever preached, won't it? The Sunday following 9/11, Levi. He said, what are you going to tell the people? It'll be hard. And it was a difficult message. But I used that text that day, John, from 1 Samuel 17 and this verse, 47, the battle is the Lord's. Now I want to say this. All of you will face giants in life. Giants come in all shapes and sizes and kinds and colors. The giant some people in this congregation face could be a midnight call. It could be a doctor's visit where the report is not good. It could be a spouse coming home and saying, the marriage is over. It could be an employer saying, we have eliminated your job. It could be a child saying to the mom and dad, I have some bad news for you. You're not going to like this, but here's what I got to tell you. Giants come in all shapes and sizes and kinds and colors. You're going to face a lot of giants in your life. And being a Christian, I want to tell you, Marie, being a Christian don't exempt you for the giant. You will all face a lot of giants out there. And I want to tell you, you'll face more. This generation will face more than my generation ever did. Amen. And I tell you why. It's because the world is more unpredictable than it's ever been. When I graduated from high school, Eric, I knew that if I went to college and got a, you know, if I got a college degree, most of the people listening to me today, we knew kind of what we could plan on. Worked hard, you could own a home, and you had a predictable, but the world is less predictable today. And I tell you, you will face giants my generation never faced. Your generation will face giants. And being a Christian don't exempt you from that. But I want to tell you that that David faced some giants. I want to talk to you this morning really about here's the story. The story I just read, the text, is David is, he lives in Bethlehem, and one day his father Jesse calls him. He said, I want you to go down to the Valley of Elah, go down there in the valley. And by the way, I've been there to the Valley of Elah in the Holy Lands. I went there and I picked up 5 smooth stones. Actually, I picked up 10 because I picked up 5 for me, Alan. I want to keep them. I don't know where they're at now, but years ago I got them, Shannon, and I picked up 5 for my mama. But I picked up 10 smooth stones. But anyway, he said, I want you to go down in that valley and visit your brothers. They're off at war. They're supposed to be down there fighting the Philistines. And so David packs up. He said, his daddy said, I want you to take these cheeses and cakes and supplies. Go down and check on your brothers at the battle. And he gets down there and 15 miles from Bethlehem to the Valley of Elah he goes. And when he gets there, rather than hear the sound of battle jests, he don't hear anything. It's just absolutely silent. Here's a camp on one hill, a camp on the other. No battle going on. And David asked him, he said, why is there no battle? And you know what his brothers tell him? They say, the reason is they got a giant. They got a giant. He's been out there for 40 days and 40 nights going back and forth and says, send me out a man. Send me out a man. And if he whips me, if he defeats me, then we'll lay down our weapons and be your servants. Or if I whip him, you'll be our servants. And then David, something just boils up in him. He said, is there not a cause? How could an uncircumcised Philistine like that defy the armies of the living God? And he said, if nobody else will go and fight the giant, I'll go. Nobody else will go. He goes before King Saul, and I love this. It says, Bruce, in the King James, I love it. He says here in the NIV, You too young. He said, you just a youth. You just a boy. He said in verse 33, Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. He's a professional soldier. You just a boy. I like what it says, Russ, in King James says, thou art but a youth. Thou art but a youth. Well, that's no excuse, is it? And you guys are just youth, but that's no excuse. And I've known youth, young people, to make a tremendous difference. And I tell you, you're going to have to make a tremendous difference in your generation because of the giants that you face. But here's what David said to him. David said, look, Saul said, you can't go. You're just a youth. You're just a teenage boy. Here's what he said. He said in verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried a sheep off from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. 3 points I want to give you. Real quick, 3 things. You read this story. Number one, I want to say in this story of David and Goliath, number one, we need to see things the way God sees it. We need to see from God's perspective. Now, when David got down there at that camp, rather than sword on sword, Gabe, and rather than shield on shield, everything was silent. They were standing around, looking at each other and discussing what they ought to do. And sometimes I think in the church we do that. We do a lot of talk. And sometimes we appoint committees. And somebody said, if you want to kill something, that's the best way to do it. Just appoint it to a committee. You know, you'll kill it. But David went down there and he said, it wasn't any committee business, brother. What they needed was somebody to stand and not just to show up. You got to do more. And I want to say in life, you got to do more than just show up. You got to really make a difference. You got to, sometimes somebody needs to fight the battle. Somebody, Tyler, needs to face a giant and fight the giant in the name of God, for the glory of God. Amen. He said, I'm not going to let him defy the armies of the living God. I'll fight the giant. And so first thing I want to say, you see, the issue was he saw God. He's like those Hebrew boys. I read about them this morning in the book of Daniel, where they said, God can deliver us, and He will deliver us. He'll be with us in the fire. He'll be with us. He believed that. Brother, they could see God. And the trouble with this Israelite army, they couldn't see anything but a big old giant. But see, to the Israeli army, the giant Goliath was a giant. But to David, there was another giant on the battlefield, and that was God. Amen? Amen? He could see God. So we need to see things from God's perspective. That's the first thing I want to say. And, you know, if you look too long at your problems, they look so big. They look bigger than God. And sometimes, you can look at your problems and you can think about it. And I've been guilty of this. We've all been guilty of it, Rick. Probably lay awake at night and you worry about those giants, the problems you face. And I tell you, sometimes you can get crisis-centered. If you look at the giant long enough, then you get crisis-centered. But the thing about David was, he just glanced at that giant, but he kept his gaze, he kept his eyes fixed. Hebrews 12, Paul said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And he was looking at God. And so he saw things from God's perspective. And that's my prayer for this class, that you'll always see things from God's perspective, that God is in it. And you can trust Him. You can believe Him. And when your problems come against you, you're going to keep your eyes on the Lord. I don't care if the giant's 9 feet tall. I don't care if his armor weighs 200 pounds. I don't care about it. How big he is, we serve an almighty God. Amen? Amen? Bigger than any giant. He's bigger. So first thing I want to see is, remember that first point? Look at things like God. See from God's perspective. Here's number two is, do what you can. Do what you can. Don't just stand around and talk all your life. It's easy to talk. It would have been easy for David to run when he saw the giant. Been easy for him to just step back and say, I'm not going to get involved. But he faced that giant. Now I'm going to say, do what you can. Two things I see here. One of them is that David had unconditional faith. He told Saul, he said, let me tell you about the lion and the bear. When I was keeping my father's sheep, and when those animals challenged the sheep, let me tell you what I did. And the same God, Peggy, that helped me to whip that lion and the bear, God will be with me, and I'll do the same to this giant. Let me say this. One reason a lot of people can't face the giant, they don't have a history with bears and lions. I mean, if you've been there and done that, you can go there and do that. And he said, he had an unconditional faith. He said, I know that God will be with me. I know God can do it. And I know God will do it through me. God will use me. God will help me. He'll be with me today. He had an unconditional faith. Second thing I want to say, Rick, is he didn't try to be somebody else. King Saul came to him and he said, why don't you put this armor on? I've got put on my helmet. You just a kid of a boy. Put on my helmet. Put on my shoulder pads. Here's my sword. And David said, I can't use that. Don't fit me. And there's going to be some things in your life, Lily, just don't fit. God don't want you to be somebody else. He wants to be the unique you. And God wants you to use the tools that He gave you. And David said, I don't need a sword. I don't need your armor. I got a little old leather slingshot. That's what God gave me. That's what I know how to use. One of the sermons I preached, Matt, all over the armies, I call it the four B's. Anybody, I preached in this church. I bet not a one of you remember it. And I like old Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee said, anybody gets conceited. You remember Chipper? Hey, Chipper's got it. Be yourself what? Got to be going somewhere. Got to be going somewhere. Got to have some goals in life. That's two of them. Can you get the other two? I'll buy you lunch. You can get the other two. I mean, see you buy you lunch. I bought it Friday night, though, didn't I? Yeah. All right. Okay, hey, look. I used to tell the four B's. Number one is be yourself. Number two is be positive. Number three is be mindful of others. Live by the great golden rule. And number four is, Chipper got it right. Be going somewhere. Have some goals in your life. Four B's, what I call it. But here's the great thing about David. He didn't try to be somebody else. I couldn't be Fox Fleming if I tried. Do you know that? I couldn't.
That's a good thing.
And Gil said that's a good thing. Hey, look, but God didn't make me. All of us have a different DNA. All of us do. Almost 7 billion people on earth. All of us have a different DNA. But I tell you the thing I want to know about you. I want God's DNA. I want you to have God's DNA in you. And really, you got that. If you were, and most of you are saved. You saved people. Isn't that right? You know the Lord and you made a commitment to Him. And you got His DNA in you. David said, I'm not going to be somebody else. I can't wear what he wears. I can't be somebody else. But you can be the real deal. You can be who God made you to be. And you can use the tools that God gave you. And God has especially equipped you. I know this group. This is a great graduating class. And many of you are the classmates. But I want to say the second thing about old days. He said, just do what you can. You ought to look at life read through God's perspective. Then number two, you ought to do what you can. And then third thing is this. Last point is this. Trust in the Lord. Just rest. Leave it with the Lord. Rest in the Lord. David did all he could do. He, without hesitation, he said, I'll go out there and fight him. And he lined up and went out there and he trusted the Lord. Now, the question is often asked, why did David carry 5 stones? Anybody know the answer to that? Somebody said I think they got it close. Anybody know why? Dr. Roger, why 5 stones? Betty Jane, where are you? Betty Jane. She's not here today? She's where?
I was told that Goliath had 4 brothers.
That's what Brother Richard was taught. And that may be the right answer. Let me give you another one. Yeah, some of you already heard this. Another may be that he's afraid he's going to miss the first 4 times. But I'll give you another one. I think maybe a theory, Mike, is it may have been as big as his sack was. It may have been all his little bag would carry was 4 other stones. I don't know. But here's what I want to tell you. Old David took that sling and he twirled it. By the way, they tell me since Hunger Games has come out that movie, that archery is really, y'all read that? Archery is really coming back. I never saw the movie or anything, but anyway, they say archery's coming back. But in that day, he had that slingshot and he put one rock in that sling, Alan, and somehow or another, God guided that rock and it found a place right there between his eyes. And he slumped and fell to the ground. And David goes, David told him, he'd warned him. Maybe before it happened, Shannon, that giant was grinning or gritting his teeth. I don't know how he was, but he thought it was a joke, a teenage boy, a joke. But when David turned that rock loose, though, it found a place between his eyes. And he fell to his knees. And David went over and took his sword, and he beheaded him. And the Bible says all of Israel, they shouted. A great loud shout. And everybody knew that the Lord, He was God. To the glory of God. I close my sermon this morning and ask this question. When do you think the giant died? When did he die? Do you think it's when they cut his... David went over and cut his head off? All right, was it this, Stan? Was it when the force of that rock hit his head and the trauma killed him? When did he die? Anybody know the answer to that? Any doctors in the house? Dr. Herod up there anywhere? When did the giant die? Sam, do you know?
When he trusted God.
You're exactly right. That giant was as good as dead when David said, "The battle is the Lord's." Some of you are going to go home today. The giants at your house will be as big as they ever were. The giants in your life will be as big as they ever were. That besetting sin, I'm going to preach tonight on entangling sins. You ought to be here. Every one of you ought to be here at 6 o'clock. But I want to say this. That giant may be as big, that habit, that relationship problem, that issue at work, that giant may be as big and as real. And the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may do. It may be as real as it ever was. But I tell you this, the minute you can bring yourself to the place that David was and say, "The battle is the Lord's," that giant's good as dead. Now, if the battle belongs to Monty Peden, or if the battle, we got to wait and see. If it belongs to Sonny Moore, if it belongs to Von Seal, we got to wait and see. But if the battle belongs to the Lord, if the battle is the Lord, buddy, that's a fixed fight, isn't it? Amen? Because he's never lost a battle. If the battle, and I want to tell you, Morgan, if you can go through, all of you, if you can go through life and say, "The battle is the Lord's," you can do that, then the victory's already yours. Just as sure as that giant was already dead. I was in my watermelon patch early this morning. C and I have staked out 575 watermelons. You think that'd be one for everybody here this morning? How many of y'all like watermelons? I was out there. You know, we had an old hand at work my day. He said, "Soon in the morning." I was out there soon in the morning to cut the water off my watermelon patch, Brother Richard. And I got me a beehive the other day. I got a beehive. John Robert brought me a beehive. You know, you know that? How many of y'all knew that? Did y'all? Y'all educated people, aren't you? Y'all know, you parents? Y'all know that, don't you? But anyway, I got the beehive. But I went out early this morning and to check my watermelons and cut the water off, and came back, got the paper, and I read about a soldier. He wears the same patch that little pin right there. You may have read it. Some of you may have read it in the Dozen Eagle this morning in the editorial section, how that young soldier, 25 years old, lost all four of his limbs in Afghanistan. Talked about Jake, that little 23-year-old wife, got a 7-month-old baby. And I tell you, I just sat there and I cried. Just me and the Lord together. It just touched my heart. So I read that about a young man who, thinking about others, and his little wife said it had to be him that got, he wouldn't let it be one of his men. He is always leading the way to fight the giants. I hope you lead the way to fight the giants. The battle is the Lord's. You got to know that. As you go to Carolina, as you go to Auburn or Troy or Alabama, wherever you go, whatever you do, you got to know in my heart, at the bottom of everything, the bottom line is, here's the bottom line of all, this is a sermon, Eric, I want you, here's a takeaway. How many words is that? The battle is the Lord's. That's 5 words, isn't it? I hope you remember that for the rest of your life. The battle is the Lord's.